Welcome to Geek Culture Online. I'm your host, Patrick Bolin, and we're doing our post on Endgame. Now, Marvel and Disney said that don't talk about spoilers lifts on Monday the... what is Monday's day? The 6th. So,
the 6th.
So, and I'm being, I'm here with Ethan, my co-host. He is traveling. He is in a jet piloting it right now over the Mediterranean on a secret mission I'm not supposed to talk about. So we'll just...
A jet on four wheels going down the expressway, if you want to call it that.
Yes. You know, I've known people to fly their cars so fast down the highway they get tire rot because their tires never touch the ground. But, yeah, you don't want to get in a car with those. But anyway, so we're going to kind of... we're going to go over this, and this is going to be released, obviously. And if you're surprised to see this being released on a Tuesday, it's because we're, you know, going forward, all the podcasts are going to be released on a Tuesday. In fact, you're going to see a lot of changes going on, so please check out the website at geekculture.online. You're going to see a lot of changes going up and coming up, as well as some of our Patreon levels are going to change as well. So if you want to go to patreon.com/geekcultureonline, you can see all the changes that are going on there. So stay tuned. So let's just dive right into this. Now, I saw it on Thursday opening night, the fan event, and they
Hey, Patrick, yes. Should we, just to clarify with what you were saying earlier, we are talking spoilers.
Yes.
So this... if you haven't seen Endgame, hit pause on the podcast, go see it, and then come back and listen.
Yes. This whole entire thing from beginning to end is going to be one giant spoiler. So listen at your own risk. Now, it is a 3 hour and two minute movie, and even though that there's been like forums and things popping up saying that there is time for bathroom breaks in the movie, I didn't feel there was one. You know, from beginning to end, I felt like there wasn't any point in time there was a lull or a section of the movie where you can get up and get away for a few minutes. But this one is part two of the Infinity War. It's character driven. It's heavily character driven. You know, for the people that haven't seen Infinity, and people that haven't seen Infinity War, this is the first time that the Avengers lost. Well, they didn't really lose. They didn't win, but they didn't lose. Their main villain, Thanos, had this weird idea that the universe was too crowded of life forms, and so he gathered all these mystical crystals and put them together in a device which looked like a gauntlet and made half of all living things go away, which also included a majority of the Avengers. So this one picks up after that. They're licking their wounds, and so.
It really opens up immediately after it, because we see, another group of people that disappear after the snap, specifically Hawkeye's family.
Yes,
his entire family is gone. He's the only one left on his farm after the snap happens.
Yes, he's wearing his ankle bracelet because he's under house arrest, and so he's in semi-retirement. He knows that he's got this ankle bracelet on, and obviously since he was arrested with Ant-Man, it's a two-year thing, so you know that he knows that he can't leave his farm for 2 years.
Right.
And he's enjoying family life. He's showing his daughter showing her how to shoot arrows. He's enjoying his two sons, his wife's there and everything. And then they all go away, just like everybody else did in Infinity War. And he turned his back. He didn't see it happen. So therefore, you know, he thought everything was fine. He had no idea about Thanos. He didn't know anything that was going on. So he's in his own little world, so to speak. And then he turns his back and turns back around, and everybody's gone. So, yeah, for, you know, here's a character that did his dead level best to hide his family, but still work for S.H.I.E.L.D. And so, and S.H.I.E.L.D. worked with him to hide his family. So nobody else in the world except for the Avengers and higher ups at S.H.I.E.L.D. knew that he had a family tucked away in the middle of America somewhere. And now he turns around and all his hard work is gone away. His family is gone. So, yeah, he kind of went rogue. And then we find out where the surviving Avengers are doing is basically they're dealing with things the best they can. They're all at Avengers headquarters, which is in upstate New York. And they're looking at these monitors and stuff. They're tracking everybody as they're the world and everything else is coming in. They're like, holy crap. This was really random, and they're trying to emotionally deal with this, and they don't know what happened to Tony Stark. He was on Titan, so
right,
and he's gone. You know, they don't know if he's gone, if he's alive, he's dead. They don't know anything about him. The only thing they know is you're going from their point of view is that he was sucked up into the donut-shaped spaceship of Thanos's and disappeared. They don't know where that was going. They know nothing.
Right. So basically, at headquarters, you have Captain America, Black Widow, Bruce Banner, mm-hmm. and Thor, and Rocket. That's everyone who's there. And we also... What's that?
There was... you said Black Widow. Okay, yeah, that's everybody.
Yep, and then we see Tony and Nebula still on the Benatar.
Yes.
And so, you know, we did talk about in our pre-show how Kevin Feige said that everything that was in the previews was from the first 20 minutes of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That was from the at least the early previews, that was the case. So, you know, the scene that we saw in the very first teaser trailer where Tony's recording a message to Pepper, we see that. We see the, you know, the full message that he's recording. We see him and Nebula, you know, working on the ship. We see them, he's teaching her how to, like, you know, flick the thing between the goalposts.
Oh, yeah, paper football. And
paper football, right.
Yeah, he's teaching her how to interact with people and actually enjoy herself. She had never done that, so her person as a character is now growing, because she's going from, you know, from day one till now, she's just been taught to be keep everybody distant and be a warrior, you know, attack and ask questions later. And now here she is going like, wow, I am, you know, I'm actually enjoying myself. I can do this. I can drop my guard. I can be, you know, I can enjoy myself, even, you know, and even though they're stuck on a ship, and the Benatar is, the engine's damaged, and so they went as far as they could before the engine gave out. So now they're
now they're running out of food and water and oxygen, so they basically don't think they have much time left.
No, even though that she is mostly robot, there's still enough organic pieces that, you know, she still needs all that. And, you know, and obviously Tony needs all that too. And his what's left of the armor isn't enough to make, you know, an armor that he's able to escape into space with. So they're stuck. So they're dealing with things the best they can. They don't know the... what's going on Earth. They only know what happened on Titan. And so there's these two groups of people that have no idea what's going on with the other ones. And Tony, you know, expected to pull another magic out of the hat type of thing. And he his character was like, well, I had one more trick in me and I can't do it. And
yep.
And you know, the Avengers up to this point, they've had, you know, two successful runs as a team with major world shattering events, and they're like, we got this, and they didn't. So now they have feet of clay, and they're like, you know, wow, I don't know what we're going to do now.
And that, well, that's the two that they did as a team, but then that's not to mention all the other instances where they, you know, saved the world or saved a city on their own too. Like if you think of the, you know, standalone movies of the individual heroes too.
Yeah.
So
yeah, so they were almost they're almost believing their own press clippings.
Invincibility.
Yes. And they think that Ant-Man's dead because they haven't heard from him either.
Right. Well, and he disappeared. He disappeared with along with Hank Pym and Hope and Janet. So mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah, so they don't know, you know, they've written everybody off. If they can't get a hold of them, they've written them off. And right at the last minute, when Tony and Nebula are pretty much on the verge of dying.
Well, Tony is, like, passes out probably from lack of oxygen, and Nebula props him up in the chair, uh-huh. pilot's chair, and then all of a sudden there's this burst of light. And there we have
Captain Marvel.
Yep, Captain Marvel shows up, and she basically carries the Benatar back to Earth to Avengers headquarters.
Now, wherever she was, she got the signal from Nick Fury. For the people that didn't see Captain Marvel, there was an end credit scene. Again, this is all spoilers, so, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
At the end of Captain Marvel, even though it was a period piece, they brought the end credit scene, had Nick Fury reacting to the events that happened in Infinity War. It was after the snap. He sees, like, half the city disappear.
Well, that was the end credits in Infinity War.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the end credits in Captain Marvel were the pager
dying,
beeping, and right. Oh, you know, one person we forgot who's there at HQ is Rhodey.
Rhodey, yes. I knew there
so
was.
We had forgotten somebody.
Yeah, I knew there was somebody else. There was too many noses that we had to count, and too many people that were gone. To show the magnitude of this movie, they made individual posters for the main characters. There was 32 main posters. 16 were done in black and white. 16 were done in color. The black and white ones were the characters that got snapped and disappeared from Thanos. The color ones were the survivors. Overall,
right.
By the end of the movie, there was close to 100 main, secondary, tertiary characters that have appeared in this movie. Over.
Yep.
You know, so that gives you an idea of the magnitude of this. So, yes, Rhodey was there. War Machine.
War Machine, yep.
Yes.
But so in that end credit scene from Captain Marvel, the pagers stop beeping, and you know, Rhodey sees that it stopped beeping, and they're trying to figure out, you know, where is it sending to, and then boom, Captain Marvel shows up. So that scene, when we saw Captain Marvel, we were speculating maybe it would appear in Endgame, but it does not.
No.
So when we see the Avengers at HQ, that's presumably after Captain Marvel has gotten there, because then she goes out and finds Tony and brings Tony and Nebula back. So,
yeah, and then they show Pepper too.
Right. Right, Pepper's there too, and so when Tony gets off the ship, then Pepper, you know, sees him, and she's relieved because she didn't know if Tony had disappeared or not, if he'd been part of the snap or not. And think about it too. This is the first time that Tony and Cap have been face to face since the end of Civil War.
That is true.
And as he talked about in Infinity War, you know, they weren't exactly on speaking terms. Is what he, I think what he said to Bruce was, we're not really on speaking terms anymore.
And that was one of the main subplots of this one is how these two characters are dealing with each other after this major tragic event.
And the way Tony reacts to everything is in typical Tony Stark fashion. It's, see, I was right. He refers back to the debate they have in Ultron, where he, you know, talked about the end game back then. And being the need to protect, create a shield around the Earth to protect them from anything that was out there. And he says, we didn't want to give up our rights to be protected, but we were wrong. And basically, you know, we should have just given up all of our rights and so we could be protected and nothing, and this wouldn't have happened. But somehow I don't think there's any shield he could have created that would have stop Thanos, particularly after he had, you know,
the gauntlet.
Particularly after he had, say, three of the Infinity Stones before he got to Earth.
Since Tony had never been exposed to that type of power and tech, there was no way that he could have anticipated that. So even though that he kept on tinkering with his armor and everything like this, and tried to anticipate, there was no way that he could have done it.
So there's still some tension there. There's still some friction. Everybody's upset at what happened. They're upset that they lost, and they say something about Thor being mad because he feels like he screwed up, and Tony says, well, yeah, he did. You know, we should have beaten Thanos. We should have stopped him, basically.
Yeah, he was playing Monday morning quarterback. He was lashing out because he felt that he was responsible, that he should have been able to take care of this, and he just was lashing out at everybody. Every person that he turned to, he lashed out at. Since he couldn't attack Thanos, he attacked everybody else around him.
Right, and you know, Thor's being depressed or upset is because he didn't go for the head. If he'd gone for the head, maybe it would have ended. So since they now have Nebula there with them, and she was Thanos' daughter.
Right.
Or one of his adopted daughters. So she knew a little bit about what Thanos' plan was, and they were trying to figure out, well, what happened to Thanos? Where did he go? All they know is they saw that he went through this portal, and they don't really know where he went to. Well, Nebula is able to help them figure out where he might be, and so then they do some scans, and presumably Rocket is and Nebula are helping them with the tech to be able to scan out into the galaxy like this. But they figure out where Thanos might be, and they say that, you know, is it a day before or a couple of days before there was a similar burst of energy as to what happened in Wakanda when he did the snap. So that meant that he had used the stones again.
Yeah, but is this after the 5-year gap?
Or is... No, this is before.
Okay.
This is before. So they figure out that he's used the stones, and then they get the Benatar back up and running, and they all go take off and go fly away. And they go to see Thanos where he is. So it's, you know, it's War Machine, Thor,
Black Widow,
Captain America, Rocket, Nebula. They all go up there to see Thanos. They find him, they confront him, and he's used the stones to destroy the stones, basically, which has almost killed him. He's disfigured, but the stones are gone.
Right.
So their plan is, because originally their plan is to get the stones from Thanos so then they can undo the snap.
Right.
Well, they can't get the stones from Thanos because he's now destroyed them.
So they're out of options.
they're out of options, and so then Thor decides to just go ahead and chop Thanos' head off, because that's what he should have done to begin with, although it really doesn't matter at that point, but I guess, you know, he gets the satisfaction of saying that he finally took care of him.
Yeah. And so Thanos is gone. They don't have any tech or anything they can do to reverse what has been done. So they go back to Earth. And you think they were, you know, you think that these people were, you know, upset with themselves now. Now they're like, well, we put all our eggs in one basket. We had a plan and we can't go through with it. And so what do you do? And so they try to deal with it the way that they could. Like Captain America does a focus group for people that have lost other people during the snap. And so he's like heading these groups up. And
this is where we have the 5-year jump. So then it says 5 years later.
Yes. And
right. And so we, like you say, as you say, Captain America is leading the like a support group for people who've lost loved ones in the snap.
And Black Widow jumps in and becomes the next Nick Fury and kind of takes over and runs the Avengers, and she and everybody that's left, even Nebula, kind of becomes part of the team. Mostly thanks to Tony Stark showing like, hey, you're still human-ish, and so you can still interact with people without trying to kill them. And so she, you know, that he's opened up doors for her that she didn't know that were closed. And so she and Rocket have kind of teamed up, and they're going all around and doing stuff.
They're looking. Well, they're looking out in the galaxy. So should they show Black Widow is talking to them like via a hologram?
Mm-hmm.
They're out in the galaxy. Okoye is in Wakanda.
Mm-hmm.
And War Machine is reporting from Mexico,
which is
where he's found some dead bodies, and he basically mentions that it's Clint or Hawkeye who's taken those people out.
Yeah, and
he's killing bad guys basically.
Yeah, smugglers and drug dealers, bad guy, human bad guys basically,
right.
Earthbound. Bad guys, no superhero bad guys, just regular bad guys, and he's mowing through them. He is, apparently he has a signature or a way of dealing with people that are very familiar to everybody else, and so he's just mowing through them, and everybody's going like, well, that's Hawkeye's signature death move or whatever, so we know it was him, and they don't know what to do with him because they're always one step behind. So Hawkeye left his farm, evidently got his bracelet off, and is just lashing out at the world like Tony did. Tony's not around, he's quit.
Tony has settled down and is living with his family out in the private area in the middle of nowhere, so he's retreated from the world. He's with Pepper, and they now have a young child. Now, what happens after we see Black Widow talking to them, and Steve Rogers comes from the support group, he comes in to check in on Natasha, and while he's there, all of a sudden, Ant-Man shows up.
And I like what you pointed out, which has been popped up, that the reason for Ant-Man's rescue is all because
of a rat.
Yes. For people that don't know, at the end of Ant-Man Wasp, they showed what happened to Ant-Man Wasp, Hank Pym, and Janet Pym. They were going, sending Ant-Man into the quantum realm to get energy packets for Ghost, which was a supervillain that appeared in Ant-Man Wasp, and they're using the quantum realm energies to repair her, because on a microscopic level, she's been damaged, and they figured out how they could they could fix her. So they sent Ant-Man into the quantum realm. The snap happens, but for people that aren't familiar with the quantum realm at that small of a level, time and space have different meanings. Stressing that.
Right.
Time and space have different meanings. So everybody else got the snap, except
right.
for Scott Lang, because he was in the quantum realm. There's speculation that if he wasn't in the quantum realm, he would have been part of the snap. But because he was down there, it was avoided. Now, that van that had the quantum realm projector was put into storage, and it's been sitting there for 5 years. And so
right.
this rat that was climbing through in the storage unit accidentally activated the quantum realm again and spat Scott Lang out, Ant-Man. So
right.
Ant-Man,
right.
he's been gone for 5 years. He knew nothing about the snap, so he's wandering around going like, my God, what's going on, everything. He didn't know what else to do because he sees that his family was caught in the snap. And so he...
He's in San Francisco. He goes to there's this like monument set up by the Golden Gate Bridge with names of people who disappeared in the snap. And so then he goes to look and see if his daughter's name is on there.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't see her name, although he does see his own name because he was presumed missing. And then he goes to find her. He goes back to her house and she's there. But of course, it's been 5 years, so she's much older. She's a teenager now instead of a little girl.
Yes. And so he's like, okay, what am I going to do? So he goes to New York with the van and bangs on the front door of the Avengers and goes like, help, you know, what's going on here? Remember me? And they're like, where'd you come from? We thought you were dead. And so he explains all this at the quantum realm. You know, it plays differently. And so they're like, well, how can we use this? And
well, he mentions that even though it was 5 years, he was only in the quantum realm for about 5 hours.
Which is very important because...
Right.
And I just realized something, which I'll explain at the end, that just a little light bulb went off on my head. So he explains, you know, like, hey, we can use this. And so they
right.
go and they're like, well, we don't have, you know, they try to deal with it, but nobody can get their minds wrapped around it. They do confront Banner.
First they bring it to Bruce, and Bruce says he can't figure it out. And they said, well, basically, you know, if he can't do it, you know, who else has the brain power to do it?
And
so then they go to see Tony.
Yeah, and Tony is still in retirement. And they present him with the idea, the germ of the idea, that they use the quantum realm to use that as a time jump or a time machine. Because
right.
And so he's like, it can't be done. And, you know, he's just been throwing a gauntlet down, no pun intended, saying like, you know, we can't do it. You can do it. And he can't let it go. He solves the problem.
Well, first he brushes it off and he tells him, sorry, guys, I'm retired, not going to do it. I'm happy with my life. You can stay for lunch, but we're not going to talk about any more about time travel. But of course, after they leave, it's itching at his head and he starts playing around with it. And of course, he solves it. He figures it out. He figures out a way to do it.
Now, I think at this point when he solves the problem, right now, here's a bigger issue. He's moved on. He has done closure. He knows that here is a way of bringing everybody back. But the thing is, if he time travels, then what he has built goes away. Now, is it one of these, it's like a Star Trek moment. Is the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one? So now he's solved it. It's eating at him. So, you know, it's just like he can fix this because that's all he does. He think that, you know, from first movie forward is I can fix this is basically his mantra. And that's what's motivating him. He's got two motivations. I can fix this
right.
and I can protect this. Those are his two.
Right.
That's his main thing And so that's why he couldn't let it go. He fixes the time travel issue. He goes to Pepper and go like, I can do this, but, and he lit, you know, and it goes on. Now he goes back to the Avengers. Now here's the thing is that time travel, it's a tricky, messy thing. You can't, you know, what they're saying in this movie, the rules of time travel in this movie is that you can't change the past, which will change the present or change the future. Is it can't be done. But
right, and there's a great scene where War Machine and Ant-Man are talking with Hulk, and they say, you know, they're giving all these examples of, well, sure we can. Well, what about Back to the Future? And they're mentioning all these other time travel movies, and Bruce basically, well, Professor Hulk says, you know, no, we can't do it. Doesn't work that way. That's not how it really works. That's just in the movies. It time travel doesn't work that way. Once you change your past becomes the present, and the future becomes your past.
Yes. So right. it's a single time, you know, it's a single piece of string that doesn't loop back on itself, you know. So they go like, well, what can we do with this? They have new tech. They have a time machine. So what can they do with it? And they realize.
And by now, Black Widow has caught up with Hawkeye in Tokyo. She brings him back, and then they're figuring out how they want to test the time travel out. And Hawkeye volunteers to test it out first.
Because
so he goes back.
Because he has nothing left. He's got nothing left.
And he wants to see his family. So he time travels back to his farm before the snap, and he hears his wife's voice. And just as he's starting to say something to her, he's sucked right back into the present.
And he takes the baseball mitt to prove that he actually time traveled.
Right, right. He does. So they figure out a plan of attack to find the stones where they were throughout the universe, and they realize somebody mentioned, I think it's either Tony or Bruce mentioned how Dr. Strange had the time stone at his sanctum on Bleecker Street, and so they realize that at one point, if they go to a certain point in time, there are three Infinity Stones in New York simultaneously. So if they go back to the time of the first Avengers movie, the Battle of New York, the Tesseract is there, the Mind Stone is there in Loki's scepter, and the Time Stone is in the amulet. So that's one place they can go and get three stones. Thor remembers that the ether was trapped in Jane, and that he if he goes back to where she when she was in Asgard with the ether in her, he can get. Or the Aether, he can get it from her.
Right.
And then the other two stones, the one is on Morag where Star-Lord found it, and the Soul Stone is, of course, and on Boromir, which only really Nebula and Gamora knew, because Gamora had shared that with Nebula.
Yes.
So that's their plan. They split up into teams to go to these different places to gather up all the stones.
Because it's easier to instead of going to six different places, they only have to go to three, so the problem is they have to intercept the stones before the events that happened in the movies in the Avengers in the Dark World of and in Infinity and the Guardians and Infinity War. So they have right. to be very, very careful. And the thing is, they have to get the stones, come back to the present, use them, then return them to the exact moment they took them. So everything that led up to this point can still happen because they can't disrupt the timeline.
Well, they figure that out when Hulk goes to the sanctum, and of course Dr. Strange isn't there because he's not yet Dr. Strange. He's still a surgeon. So the Ancient One is there, but she explains to him that if he takes the stone, it's going to create a new timeline, and that it will basically destroy her reality. So he promises to her that he will bring the stones back to this same point in time, so that nothing is disrupted, and that he'll bring all the stones back to where they recovered them from.
Now, since they're using the quantum realm to do this, it's just going to be moments from the time they take it from her point of view. So it's not.
They can actually return it like a second later, right?
Right.
Because like we talked about with Scott Lang, he was gone for 5 years, but to him it felt like 5 hours.
Exactly.
There is of course a wrinkle along the way where, as they're trying to get away with the Tesseract and the Scepter, Loki gets free and takes the Tesseract. So they have two of the stones from 2012, but they have to go get the Tesseract somewhere else, and then. But their concern is they're out of Pym. They'll be out of Pym particles. They don't have enough Pym particles.
They only had enough for one round trip. So it's one to the past and one back to the present. And so they realize that, well, we have to go back even further. And where in the world is the Tesseract?
Tony says he's sure that there's a date in 1970 where he can get where the Tesseract is and the Pym particles are in one place, and that's basically when Hank Pym was working for S.H.I.E.L.D., so the Tesseract was with S.H.I.E.L.D., and Hank Pym's research was with S.H.I.E.L.D., and he remembers the date because it's basically the day he was born. That's what we figure out later on after he talks to his father. So they're able to collect all of the stones. The one hitch along the way is that for the group that goes out galactically, so that's Nebula, War Machine, specifically Nebula and War Machine, somehow Nebula's network is interfaced with the Nebula from 2014. So as Thanos is talking to her, he sees a projection from her memory that's from herself from the future, but herself from the future is currently in that time.
So
they figure out. They figure out everything that's going on, and it winds up being that the Nebula from 2014, who is still loyal to Thanos, jumps back to
the present time,
back to present, or well, to 2023, and eventually leads Thanos and his army there to them.
Because...
But before she does that, before they get there, they have all the stones. Tony has created a new gauntlet to put the stones in, and now they just need to have somebody put the gauntlet on and do the snap. So at first Thor wants to, because he says, of course, and this is a kind of a hint back to Ragnarok, he says he's the strongest Avenger.
Mm-hmm.
But then it winds up instead being Hulk, and because he's actually the strongest one, and he also says, well, you know, these things are full of gamma radiation, so it's almost like I was born to do this.
Yeah, because he can absorb that. He can absorb the gamma radiation. So physically, he's the only one that can do this.
Right, and they saw what the stones did to Thanos, and Thanos wasn't a human, he was a Titan, and wielding the stones damaged him physically, so they need to make sure it's somebody who can withstand that assault to their body, basically.
Yeah, and
So Hulk does the snap, right after he does the
Well, don't forget that he was given specific instructions, because they have this Iron Man gauntlet. Hulk's wearing it, and Tony kept on stressing to him. He says, "Don't reverse time. Just bring people back," because he doesn't want to lose his daughter, Morgan.
Right.
Yeah. We forgot one little thing, is that to get the Soul Stone, the rules of the Soul Stone is that you have to sacrifice something that you love.
It has to be it's a soul for the Soul Stone. So actually, Hawkeye and Black Widow go to get the Soul Stone, and they're actually arguing over which of them should sacrifice themselves. And eventually it winds up being that Black Widow sacrifices herself, because she has said earlier in the movie that when she was coming up and in her training, she really had nobody. But then she found a family with the Avengers,
mm-hmm.
and whereas Clint has lost his family, and this is an opportunity for him to get his family back. So that's why she decides to sacrifice herself for him, so he gets his family back.
Yeah, because, you know, Tony's got a family, Hawkeye's got a family, you know, just and nobody else, you know,
Ant-Man's
got a family.
His daughter, at least.
Yes. So therefore, there's a great amount of people on the Avengers or working with the Avengers have family that are gone or can be brought back. So therefore, you know, that's, you know, the Hulk, he's got Betsy Ross, but, you know, she hasn't been around for a while. So therefore, you know, he
and now he had Natasha, but now she's gone.
So. Yeah. And he does the snap with the time-traveled stones, and apparently it works, but the thing is that these are the stones from the past, and this is the evil Nebula, and she uses a signal to bring Thanos here, and even though that everybody is back, because you know, Ant-Man's looking outside and he sees that the dead trees are back to life.
The first clue is that Clint's phone starts vibrating and he picks it up and it's his wife calling him.
Yeah, he never got rid of the numbers or the phone or his phone number, and he sees that his wife's alive once again. But. The trouble is so that everybody that was in the snap is back. Now I have to stress that. Okay, we saw Vision was deactivated. Black Widow was killed. And these are people that were not snapped. Okay, so mm-hmm. so the Hulk
and Gamora also gave herself or was given up and was sacrificed for the Soul Stone.
Yes. And the souls.
Although we have the Gamora from 2014 there
mm-hmm.
with Thanos.
Yes, but she starts realizing even then, because Hawkeye was convincing her, the Gamora from 2014, that, you know, Thanos is bad, and so she kind of starts going to the good guy's side.
Yes,
and
So they've brought everybody back from the snap. However, their victory is very short-lived because within, you know,
moments,
within a couple of seconds or minutes, Thanos is there attacking them, and he basically blows Avengers headquarters to smithereens. They all, you know, fall under the debris of the building. So it's just chaotic. It's a mess. They don't know what's going on. And then they do eventually figure it out. And, of course, you know, that begins this huge battle royale that's basically the last, third of the movie or so.
And Thanos brings everything he has to the table, every single army, ship, weapons to the planet Earth. And so, you know, it's basically the surviving Avengers against half the galaxy, and you think that, okay, how's this going to work out? Because they couldn't, you know, defeat Thanos by himself at full strength with everybody around, and here is half the team against thousands, and you forget that everybody is brought back, so all these portals start popping open, and here is Doctor Strange and all the other mystical people.
Well, real quick before that, it's important to mention that when the building is collapsed and they're all underground, Hawkeye finds the gauntlet.
Yes.
The Tony Stark gauntlet with the stones, and he runs from, there's some Chitauri who are chasing him, runs from that. He's got the gauntlet, because that's important to remember for, you know, what happens next. So,
yes, that is very, very true. And so,
also before Doctor Strange shows up, if I can just say, there's a couple of really cool scenes. One is the big three of the Avengers. So Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor kind of all try to take on Thanos by tag teaming him.
Mm-hmm.
And during that fight, at one point, you know, we should mention Thor. One thing Thor recovers when he goes back to Asgard is he recovers Mjolnir, his hammer.
Mm-hmm.
And as Thor is fighting Thanos, and Thanos is taking Stormbringer and about to put it into Thor's chest, much the way Thor did to Thanos.
Yes.
We see Mjolnir being raised off the ground like it's being pulled to Thor, but instead of being pulled to Thor, it's Captain America who pulls it up. He takes the hammer and then throws it to Thanos and knocks him off, and Thor immediately says, "Yes, I knew it."
Because
which echoes back to Age of Ultron, the scene where everybody's trying to pick up the Mjolnir, and the only person who makes it budge a little bit is Cap.
Yes.
And if you remember, Thor had a strange look on his face when Cap does that.
Yeah, so, he's like, "Oh no."
Yep. So Cap wields Mjolnir. He the thunder and lightning with it. So that was one of the very cool moments of the movie.
It was, and it harks back to the comics because he, in Captain America in the comics, has yielded the hammer. So it just, so between the two of them, they have him on the ropes, but it's not good enough. And Captain Marvel gets in there and she beats the snot out of him, but it's still not good enough.
Right. So then, as you said, we all of a sudden start seeing the circle portals that Doctor Strange creates, and Doctor Strange and Wong and all the other
mystical arts
the masters of the mystic arts are there, and coming through the portals is everyone. And right before that, Cap hears Falcon over his earpiece. You hear Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And so Cap says, when he sees everyone, he finally says, "Avengers assemble."
Yes.
Which, of course, happens in the comics often. But in none of the Avengers movies have we actually heard that line said until now. They started to show it at the end of Ultron, but they cut it off right before he said assemble. But here we actually see Cap say, "Avengers assemble," and now everybody is there. So it's all of the Avengers, all of the Guardians, all of the troops from Wakanda. There's, you know, soldiers from the galaxy.
You know, the Nova Corps. Yes.
It's a whole army to go toe-to-toe with Thanos' army.
And they push him back. They get him against the ropes. The troops, you know, all the heroes are basically beating all the villains. And so it's boiling down to basically Thanos and the Avengers that are able to get to him. And he gets the gauntlet Hawkeye tries to get it to Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel gets it because, you know, of anybody that's powered enough, you know, besides the Hulk, Captain Marvel is probably going to be the only one that's going to be able to yield it, because she is basically an energy being. So, you know, it was logical for her to try to get it and try to use it against him. That didn't work. Thanos gets it back.
And her powers were derived from the Tesseract. So.
Yes. So you think that so the same energy levels would take care of it. And he beats everybody back, gets the gauntlet back, and because don't forget, this is the 2014 Thanos, so he doesn't have any of the knowledge leading up to the Infinity War. So this is kind of like a newbie Thanos, and he still gets the gauntlet.
Yes, but while he has the gauntlet, Tony is fighting with him. And remember, Tony, his current armor is built with the nanotech.
And so was
the
gauntlet.
So he's fighting with Thanos. What's that?
So was this new gauntlet, because it's able to adjust its size to whoever's wearing it.
Right. So he's fighting, going back with him. You're not really clear as to what's going on. And then Thanos holds up the gauntlet and snaps, but nothing happens. And he says a line which he also said before the present day Thanos was killed by them. He tells him he's inevitable. He says again, "I am inevitable." He snaps, nothing happens. He looks over, And now Tony raises his hand, and he's got the six Infinity Stones in his glove, and he says, "I am Iron Man," and then does the snap.
And takes out all the villains. But here's
basically all of Thanos' ships, all of his army, all of them, and Thanos himself all disappear to dust, just like what happened to everybody at the end of Infinity War.
Now, the sad part is, and again, if you're still listening, this is spoilers. It's that gauntlet releases a tremendous amount of gamma radiation. Don't forget Pepper Potts was there in her rescue armor, which
apparently is correct. Yeah.
Yes. And so everybody.
And one other real quick thing. When Tony sees Peter Parker, sees Spider-Man on the battlefield, and then Parker walks up to him and he says, "Hey, remember when we were on that planet and I wasn't feeling well?" He said, "Well, we went to this other place and then Doctor Strange helped us get out, but, you know, we were only in there for a little while." So, again, they were kind of outside of time and space.
Again.
So none of them have age. So Peter Parker, even though it's 5 years later, is still a teenager.
Yes,
so
everybody that was in the snap, everybody that got snapped has not aged. They're picking up where they left off.
Where they left off, right. So anyway, as you were saying, Tony uses the gauntlet, but
it's fatal.
It gives off all this radiation, so.
Yeah, it's fatal. And so.
Right, so.
Yeah.
And so Tony is fading, and of course he's got the people who are there, the three closest people to him. Pepper's there,
mm-hmm.
Rhodey, and Peter Parker. And Pepper tells him, "It's okay, Tony. It's okay. You can let go. We're okay."
Maybe he did what he has been intending to do since the first Avengers, was to protect the Earth, and he managed to do it. And
yes.
And his main motivation was to fix things and to protect things. He managed to do it. He made a gauntlet. He fixed a gauntlet and protected the world like he's been trying to do since the first movie. And that's, you know, it's a bookend thing where, you know, I am Iron Man, and it's how it started is how it ended.
Well, the other thing too is that Tony, throughout his life and throughout all the movies, has been selfish and it's always been about him and about his ego. But ultimately, he makes the sacrifice and sacrifices himself for the good of the world and of the universe. So he's done a reversal in terms of
his personality. He's grown. Yeah, his character has grown and changed, and just like his armor has, he has become more than where he started.
Right. So he's become what Steve Rogers described to him before about laying on the wire so your
troops
can go behind you.
Yes. Because he says, I lay on the wire, and he says, I would have just cut the wire. So he has come.
Right. So he's evolved from that.
And so now we're going to deal with the repercussions, and we see Tony's memorial service, which has the first arc reactor that Pepper gave him, and all his close friends, and a majority of all the.
It's really pretty much all of the main characters from the movies. It's all of the Avengers,
mm-hmm.
all of the superheroes, all of the Guardians are there. Happy is there, mm-hmm. Fury is there, Captain Marvel. I mean, it's everybody. You know, pretty much all of the main characters from the films, including an unidentified teenager, which they don't tell you in the movie who he is. But that is. The character that was the kid in Iron Man 3 that knew Tony as the mechanic.
Yes, because he gave the kid a large, extensive laboratory at the end of that. So apparently they've kept in touch with each other. And here, and this is like 5 years later because of the time jump of the movie. And yes, so he's there. There's so many people in this scene. If you it's a blink and you'll miss them.
Right. And another important thing. So earlier in the movie, around the time where Tony figures out the time travel, he's talking to his daughter, Morgan, mm-hmm. and she says that she loves him 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
And so then at the end, after Tony's gone, he had recorded, right before they did the time jump, he had recorded a hologram, a video message to them. And in that, and he left it in the event that something were to happen to him. But then in that video message to her, he tells her, "I love you 3,000." So it's, his message back to her.
And Happy asks her if she's hungry, and she goes, "Yes, I want a cheeseburger."
That's the cheeseburger.
Yeah.
And he said, "Yeah, you know who else liked your cheeseburgers was your dad."
So it's so many little subtle things, and it was so emotional in this whole entire thing. But after all of this.
And then the last part of it is they have to get the stones back.
Oh,
in
yeah.
time. So Captain America volunteers to take the stones back. He's taking all 6 stones. He's got enough 10 particles to make all the jumps, take them back to the various times where they were taken from, and come back. And so they're waiting for him to come back, and he's not there.
Yeah, and Professor Hulk says that he's overshot his landing, and we don't know where he's at right now. But that's because...
Well, then all of a sudden, Sam, because Sam and Bucky are there, mm-hmm. Falcon and Winter Soldier, and they all of a sudden hear a voice that sounds like Cap. They walk over, and there's this old man sitting on a bench. Well, it's an old Steve Rogers, and he tells them that he finally did what Tony had been telling him to do and, got a chance to live life a little.
Mm-hmm. And he shows that he shows that he had a wedding ring on.
Right. And then Sam says, "Well, I don't want to live in a world where there's no Captain America." And Steve says to him, "Well, you don't have to." That brings me to this. And he unzips the bag, and there's the shield. And he gives the shield to Sam. And Sam says, "Well, no, I can't do this." He said, "Sure you can." So he's basically passing the mantle of Captain America onto Sam.
Which is the Falcon, which does happen in the comic books. And
right.
So now, there's been banter on was this a alternate timeline? And no, we discussed this off camera, off mic, about how they show a scene of him going back and having his dance with Peggy Carter that he promised her in the first Captain America film. And throughout all these movies and the Peggy Carter TV show and S.H.I.E.L.D.'s TV show, they mentioned that Peggy Carter does get married and has 2 kids, but they never mention the husband.
Well, they never show her husband. She
right.
does mention that. She mentions that her husband was saved by Captain America's sacrifice.
So that could only mean one thing, is that this is the correct timeline, because again, like Professor Hulk said, is that timelines can't, you can't loop, change them. So this is what is supposed to happen. He went back to the past after his crash in the Arctic, after World War II, after the beginning of S.H.I.E.L.D., he meets up with Peggy Carter. They get married, they have kids, and him knowing exactly what's going to happen laid low, because that would have changed the timeline until this moment, because he knows when that was going to happen and meets up with everybody. So therefore, it's not an alternate timeline. It was what was supposed to happen. So he gets his happy ending. Tony got his happy ending. Sad as it was, he got the family that he wanted. Tony and Steve have the family. Hawkeye got his family back. So everybody, Black Panther is back. So everybody that had a family is back. Sadly, Quicksilver, Vision, and
Black Widow
are not around. You know that all three of them died not because of the snap. So therefore, it's going to be a little hard to bring them back, but not impossible, because her sacrifice for the Soul Stone means that she's in the Soul World, which is an alternate dimension in where she's trapped in. Doesn't necessarily mean she's going to stay trapped, because Gamora gets trapped in there too. So there's that part where there's two superheroines, heroes, are stuck in the Soul World. So they're not gone for good. They're just there for now.
Then we also do see, so earlier in the movie we'd seen where they went to go find Thor. He was in New Asgard, which is in Norway.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the movie, he decides that he's going to leave. He leaves Valkyrie in charge of the Asgardians,
mm-hmm.
and he takes off in the Venatar with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
And they leave, and the, right before they leave, they show Star-Lord looking for Gamora, and the computer can't find her. So therefore, she,
right.
You know, did Hulk bring her back? Well, he can't, because it's trapped in the Soul Stone. So he doesn't, you know, he thinks, he doesn't know that she's trapped, but he's, you know, that's his main motivation, is to find his family, which is Gamora. And so now we have a Thor with them, and he says something very brilliant with them. He, instead of calling them the Guardians of the Galaxy, he calls them the Asgardians of the Galaxy, which is the name of a comic book title that Marvel put out I think it's like a little over a year ago, but it's still being published, I believe. And so therefore,
okay.
So therefore they've called on that. There is so much fan Easter eggs in this movie. The storage unit that Hank Pym's van was in was 616. Now, the version of reality that these movies take place in is Earth 616.
So, or at least, well, that's the main universe in the Marvel comic.
Yes. And so, therefore, that's, you know,
they don't know that that's the cinematic universe.
That is true. That is true. But that's the one from the comic book, is 616. And so there's all these, you know, the harkings of, you know, of Captain America and picking up the hammer, all these little things from the comic book. They did a whole bunch of stuff, like Captain America's support group. That was Joe Russo, the director, was the one that was doing the main talking. Behind him was Jim Starlin.
Sorry, I didn't know you were leading me to that.
Oh, that's right. Jim Starlin, who created Thanos in the comic books. So,
right, and he also did a lot of work on the Captain Marvel comics as well.
Yes, he's the one that that did the main storyline of the death of Captain Marvel, or which Captain Marvel, which was, you know, where Captain Marvel came from. So it just, there's like names of artists, you know, and like in like names on buildings and things like this. And there's just so many little nuances and Easter eggs throughout this movie. I kept on going like, I knew that one. They're just coming at me at fast and furious. And it's just, but you know, the storyline of Captain America and Iron Man not getting along resolved, you know, Hulk dealing with, you know, with Bruce Banner resolved, you know, just the protection of the Earth resolved. It just all these things, you know, just all these subtle little storylines and character motivation things running throughout this, you know, this whole entire 11 years, it's all done.
Right, and Yeah, and the other thing is that really, when you look at it, you know, I remember reading somewhere that was pointed out that at the end of Infinity War, among the survivors were the original six Avengers. And when you think about it, that's really who the focus of this movie was on. It was telling, like you said, there's a lot of character development. Well, the character development really focused on those six characters: Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, Hulk, Black Widow, Hawkeye. Those were the central figures, the central characters of all the story threads that are weaved throughout the movie.
Yes. So it just
and it really kind of wraps up at least this chapter of the story for most of the characters. You know, a couple of them, you know, and like in Tony's case, it wraps up his story altogether. But even for those like Hulk or Thor who are still around, it at least ends this chapter of their storyline.
And you know, the characters that are still around, even though their character storylines have been wrapped up, they're still around to start a second chapter and everything else. Now, the Russo brothers have moved the goalpost. Everybody thought this was the end of Phase 3. It's actually going to be the next Marvel movie, which comes out in July, which is Spider-Man Far From Home.
Now, that wasn't the Russo brothers. That was Kevin Feige.
Kevin Feige.
So he said, okay. Yeah, the head of Marvel Studios, he said that initially all the reports were Far From Home was going to be the beginning of Phase 4, but he said, no, actually, it's the end of Phase 3. And as you said, this movie really wraps up all 11 years of the storyline, so I guess you can view Far From Home as somewhat of an epilogue, basically, to this phase of the movie. And one note as it relates to Far From Home is we do see a scene at the end of Peter going back to school, and he does see Ned. So, you know, I know there was some question, well, it's 5 years later, how is everybody still in school with him? Well, we know for sure at least Ned was
part of the snap.
So we've seen MJ in the previews, so probably she was also gone as well. So they're all still, even though it's 5 years later, they're still teenagers, so they're still in high school together.
Yes, and so they picked up where they left off, even though that some of the people that they went to school with that did not get affected with the snap have moved on. The core group of Peter's friends somehow or another are back, and that's where this one picks up. And the repercussions of Endgame.
Yeah.
So,
you know, overall, do we want to get into like overall discussion of the movie or like
sure.
our thoughts or
sure.
Okay, so I would say first of all, my one-word review after seeing this was wow.
Yes.
So, but, you know, overall, I think, you know, it's a great movie. Definitely if we're talking, you know, buy, stream, or skip, definitely a buy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think, you know, as you said, they did such a great job of character development, which was a change of pace from the rest of the movies.
Mm-hmm.
It was more epic than any of the other movies. They took on the impossible and had to make it happen. There was this, you know, this series of, you know, things that they had to accomplish, which, you know, kind of harkens back to Dr. Strange saying there was one, they had one chance in 14,605,000 mm-hmm. to win. And this was the one in 14 million. So, you know, it's you know, a great storyline from that regard. It's great in terms of the character development, again, on those main six Avengers. And it really, as you said, it bookends the movie series quite well. It started with Iron Man. It ends Iron Man's story. It started with him saying, I am Iron Man, at the end of the first movie. He says, I am Iron Man, as he does the snap here. You know, everything just falls in line perfectly. So, you know, I don't think we'll see anything like this in movies for a long, long time. So
no, it's impossible because it's 22 movies, or 21 movies, oh, if you include Far From Home, 22 movies.
Well,
that,
22 includes this one. 22 includes this one.
Yeah. So it's
this, I believe.
Yes, yes. And so you have this overarching storyline that just, you know, you can't, there's nothing to compare it to. Nothing has ever been done before like this. It's just, they, it just, it's, you're so emotionally attached to the all these characters and everything is because they spent time dealing with them as characters and building on them and building on them and building on them. And it just, yeah.
And one other thing I want to say is hats off to the Russo brothers.
Oh my God, yes.
And you know, I was thinking about it, and you know, I know we've talked on the podcast about how Marvel has taken these risks, you know, like whether it's, you know, starting the series off, the movie universe off with Iron Man, or introducing Guardians, or, mm-hmm. you know, trying to juggle all these characters. Well, one of the risks I think they took was, you know, kind of handing the keys over to the Russo brothers, because, you know, they weren't big name directors. They weren't, you know, really, if you look at their credits before doing Marvel movies, they only did a couple of movies, and most of the work they did was television, but it wasn't action or superhero television. They were doing sitcoms. They were mm-hmm. doing Arrested Development and Community and Sunny in Philadelphia. And that's the kind of stuff they were doing. So not exactly people who you would think would be able to do movies of this scale, yet they've done an amazing job, I think. And,
well, yeah, they stepped, you know, up to the plate. They went from, you know, what they brought was character development, and then being able to do it on a grand scale, to be able to do that.
But that's a whole different thing from doing movies, especially like these last two, or even Civil War, where you've got all these superhero characters and there's all these fights that have to be coordinated. And, you know, when you look at first of all, they've done more movies than anybody else by doing four. Nobody else has done more than two,
no.
I don't think.
No, that's right.
But the four that they've done, Winter Soldier, Civil War, Infinity War, Endgame, I think most people would agree that those are four of the best, maybe not the four best, but four of the best of the Marvel Universe films.
They're very strong character development films, which, you know, you're emotionally invested. Yes.
They're among the best of the Marvel films. Like, if somebody said, hey, my four favorite Marvel films were these four, I wouldn't argue with them. I'd say, okay, yeah, I can see that, you know? Yeah. I mean, there's others I'd put ahead of a couple of these, but they're definitely all near the top for me. So,
yeah. If you had to cherry pick, these would be the top four, you know, if you could only choose so many, you know, it'd be Iron Man and these four. You know.
Yeah, well, see, for me, I'd probably mix in the first Avengers.
Yeah.
It's nitpicking, but, I mean, none of these four movies would go much further than the top seven or eight films, I think, on most people's list. So, I think they've done a masterful job. And, you know, they've said the one way they'll come back and do another Marvel movie is if Marvel decides to do Secret Wars. So,
yeah. Yeah,
hopefully,
they're
hopefully
done.
That's on the docket.
Yeah, hopefully it is. You know, people have been already starting to dissect some of the stuff from Far From Home. There's even been saying that they think they saw some of the Skrulls in Far From Home. You know, the human characters that they're portraying. They think they saw them in the background, so maybe they are setting up Secret Wars. If that's the case, that's amazing. But yeah, I think that any of all the directors that have dealt with things of this magnitude in the Marvel Universe, the Russo brothers could be the only ones that could really pull off Secret War at the right level.
So what are your thoughts, Patrick, on the film overall?
Oh, I fell asleep in it. No. It's just, it was an emotional roller coaster. I I'll admit it. I cried. I screamed at the screen like everybody else. There was people applauding. There was people screaming. There wasn't an empty seat when I saw it. It was an emotional roller coaster, and I could understand when they handed it over to Marvel, saying that we can't cut it down anymore. This is as short as we can make it. And Marvel looked at it and went, "Yeah, we agree with you. I would like to see what they cut out. I mean, it just how long was the uncut version? 4 hours? It just they could have easily split this into two films and made each one 2.5 hours long. They could have dragged this out forever, quite honestly. And I'm upset about Tony going away. I don't want to see that happen, but like Tony Stark, what he said is that all the part of the journey is the end. So, but I've always argued, and with the screenplays I've even written and things like this, is that nobody wants to see the Lone Ranger riding off into the sunset. Nobody wants to see the last story of James Bond. Nobody wants to see, what happens to Sherlock Holmes. It's just that I've always argued this, is that nobody wants to see the final adventure of anybody. But, this was appropriate to, as a send-off and a way of winding this up. And I'm hoping that there's some way of bringing Tony back somehow. I mean, just in the comic books, the running gag is that nobody stays dead. So maybe they figure a way of doing that, but not too soon. But
a couple of ideas I've seen online is maybe, he becomes the voice of the suit, or they just have him back as a hologram or something like that.
Or flashbacks, or CS. Maybe he is the next Jarvis, the next artificial intelligence. That would be one way of doing it. Okay, I'm sold. But yes,
that didn't take much.
No. It's just, Iron Man has always been one of my favorite characters, I have a ton of their comics, literally tons. So it's just, but yes. Marvel for the future has 6 films on the docket. Sony has Far From Home in July, and obviously there will be a third Spider-Man. Who knows when that will be? Sony is kind of not talking about anything futuristic, but we know that Black Widow will have a movie, and that's starting filming next year or this year. We have Black Panther 2, Black Panther 3, Doctor Strange 2, Doctor Strange 3, Guardians of the Galaxy 3. We have the Eternals, and then I always forget the martial art movie.
Shang-Chi.
Thank you. And so right there is, we know at least 8 films that we know of. There is 6 on the docket. They've asked or reserved release dates for 6 of those films. We do know that Gunn is back to direct Guardians 3, which starts filming next year. So we can't look to the past. Well, we can now with the time machine. But anyway, we're looking to the next phase of what Marvel has planned. Now, to bring up my point, there was no end credit scene. There is an homage to the beginning of Iron Man, where you hear the hammering of metal at the very end of the film, which everybody was speculating, was it Morgan making her suit of armor? Was it the kid from Iron Man 3 making his armor? And then was it Kevin Feige, or was it the Russo brothers that said what it was? It just they said it was just, you know, just an homage, saying that it was it was just a sound from the first Iron Man film, so it was kind of closing out the whole thing. So I'm still getting emotional over this, but now I guess we can only look to what's coming up. Oh, and you know that Fox has been absorbed. You know, all the Marvel characters from Fox have now been absorbed back into Marvel. Who knows what's going to happen? But the one thing I wanted to bring up was that in the comic books, in the Fantastic Four, Dr. Doom had made a time-traveling platform. Okay? Now, what do they have in this movie? A time-traveling platform. So I think this may be a way of them doing a backdoor introduction to either Dr. Doom or the Fantastic Four. Because in the comic books, especially in the first 100 issues of the Fantastic Four, the time-traveling platform was used a lot. And I really thought that they were going to introduce another superhero team, which I was hoping they were, you know, like I've said in previous podcasts, that it was going to be Alpha Flight, because that would have been a backdoor way of introducing Wolverine, which would have then introduced the X-Men. So who knows what's going to be introduced in the Black Widow movie, or you think, what the speculation is, the villain for Black Panther 2 is going to be the Submariner. So that's another way of introducing the Fantastic Four. So there's all these speculations, all these things up in the air. Now, if what superhero or villain would you like to see pop up now that they've got this off their plate?
Well, I mean, we know, like you said, we know some of the upcoming films, so we know, you know, some of the ones that are going to be coming. You know, I think definitely one that I really want to see, even though it's been done by Fox, I want to see Fantastic Four done right.
Yes.
Because I was always a fan of that comic. That was one of the first ones I started reading as a kid. So I would like to see them do it and do it right. Give it a good show. So if they can pull that off, that would be great. I wouldn't mind seeing the X-Men again, but, you know, I think Kevin Feige has said that, and probably, you know, rightfully so, they want to hold off on X-Men for a little while.
All right.
For one thing, Dark Phoenix is coming out this summer, so, you know, people like us know that the difference between Marvel and Fox and what have you, but just for the general movie-going public, that might be a little confusing. Like, wait a minute, they just had an X-Men movie. Why are they doing X-Men again?
Right.
Rebooting it again. So
too much saturation.
So I think there probably will be a few years before we see the X-Men again. And then, of course, besides the movies, Disney Plus is going to be launching later this year.
In November.
They've announced that there's going to be at least three or four series that are going to be on Disney Plus that are part of the MCU. So there's going to be a
Loki,
Falcon and Winter Soldier, Loki,
Vision,
Wanda and Vision, mm-hmm. And then there's speculation too that there will be a Hawkeye series,
which would be awesome. If you've read any of the comics lately in the last like 4 or 5 years with Hawkeye, that's the storylines they should be pulling from. And they could introduce his daughter.
That's the speculation because of that scene at the beginning where they showed him teaching his daughter how to use a bow and arrow.
Mm-hmm.
That the speculation is that it will include his daughter and him training her to be the next Hawkeye, I guess.
Well, there's right there is four series, and then there's obviously Marvel Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., which starts next week. And it's going.
Yep.
It's guaranteed two more seasons. Who knows what's going to happen after that? So.
And then they're doing the animated series that are going to be on Hulu. So that includes like Howard the Duck.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do a What If?
Yes.
Series. they just announced this week that also on Hulu they're going to do live action series of Ghost Rider and Hellion.
Yes.
And the guy who played Ghost Rider on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to play him on the Hulu series as well. So this may have been the end of this story of the MCU, but it's certainly not the end of the MCU.
No, not at all. And if this was the last cameo for Stan Lee, so it's so appropriate, you know, that where he started and where he ended, it was nice that he was able to get into this one too. So, yeah, there you go.
And the irony is that his cameo was in 1970. So.
Yes. And so it's just. But anyway, okay. Anyway, so there you go. So the ending, the finishing of one thing and starting of a whole bunch of other things. And don't forget, there's still Cloak and Dagger is out there too. And
that's right.
Yeah, and there's
Was it The Runaways?
The Runaways. And so there's a ton of Marvel shows out there, and so there's always going to be something Marvel. So it just you know, this may be the end of a huge storyline, but the beginning of a whole bunch of awesome things. So,
we got plenty of opportunities to make mine Marvel.
Awesome. I like that. Excelsior. So, all right. Well, you know, like all of my podcasts, you can go to my webpage at geekculture.online. You can listen to this on any place you pick up podcasts at. You can follow all the social medias, Facebook and Instagram at Geek Culture Online. You can go to Twitter, which is Your Geek Culture. You can write to me directly at patrick@geekculture.online. You can write to Ethan at ethan@geekculture.online. There's going to be some major changes going on, and look for it on the website and all the social medias. Don't forget to keep our lights on and the podcast free by going to patreon.com/geekcultureonline. Throw us a couple of bucks, and this will stay free and we keep the lights on. We're going to be delving into the Game of Thrones because there's the three last episodes are going to be on there, so we're going to dig deep into those. So look for those, the next three episodes of that, and those
are basically like three movies because they're all like an hour and a half long and
easily.
The head of HBO has already said that watching this last season, each episode is like watching a movie. So
yeah, they spent a ton of money on each of these, so this is going to be an amazing thing. I'm excited about this. That last week's episode was mind blowing. So I don't.
How about this? I went to see Endgame on Sunday. That's when I got tickets for.
Oh, geez.
So I saw Endgame and I watched that episode of Game of Thrones within a matter of a couple of hours apart. So
you need therapy.
I was sensory overload and emotionally spent after the end of that Game of Thrones.
Me too. I saw it. Saw Avengers on Thursday, and then saw Game of Thrones on Sunday. I was spent on Monday and Tuesday. I was completely emotionally spent. I still haven't really truly recovered from Endgame, but. I'm going to be worse for these next three episodes, and then we're going right into the blockbuster season for the summer. So, and all the major crossover events in Marvel and DC comics books. So, wow, we have a lot. Stay tuned. That's all I got to say. So,
yep.
So until next time, I'm Patrick.
I'm Ethan.
Have a good one.
Yep.